Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This month, we are focusing on the beginning of the most important 3 years in all of history, the beginning of the public ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about his first public appearance at his baptism, where he was anointed as our prophet, priest, and king. Today, we talk about his first sermon, the first preaching that he did. According to Mark 1, Jesus' preaching focused on the kingdom of God. Mark 1, 14 and 15 says, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So what is the kingdom of God? Well, it's the place where our king, Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, rules. It's the opposite of the kingdom of this world, also known as the kingdom of the devil or the kingdom of darkness. But the kingdom of darkness brings sin, pain, suffering, and death. Jesus brings God's kingdom. God's kingdom is filled with grace, forgiveness, peace, joy, and everlasting life. Romans 15, verse 13 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus comes to do is to overthrow the kingdom of darkness and establish the kingdom of God on earth, to bring the kingdom of God to everyone. Now, the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells us that we can't see the kingdom of God as it is advancing. It is invisible to us. But the kingdom of God is advancing, and we can be sure of that. That's what we're praying for in the Lord's Prayer, right? For thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Well, to us and to other people. But how does God answer that prayer? How does God's kingdom come? Well, that's what Jesus is preaching about here in Mark 1, 14 and 15. Let me share with you three ways that God's kingdom comes to us. The kingdom of God comes through, number one, God's word. Normally, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, Mark 1, verse 14. Normally, kingdoms in this world advance through two means. They may advance themselves politically through like deals, trades, alliances with other kingdoms. Or else, as more often is the case in history, kingdoms grow larger militarily through conquest. The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the anointed one, is not a political kingdom. It is not a military kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. And it advances through the power of words. More to the point, it grows by the power of God's word, the Bible. Where the word of God is proclaimed and the sacraments, the visible word of God, are administered, rightly administered, the kingdom continues to advance. So Jesus isn't organizing a political movement. He doesn't build up an army with weapons that kill. He preaches. He comes proclaiming the gospel, the good news of God. This is the way he builds his kingdom. This kingdom advances through the power of God's word and sacraments. It's not a kingdom of power. It's not a kingdom of glory. It's a kingdom entered into by faith. And faith comes through the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. This kingdom is entered through faith. Now, faith basically means trust. And faith always has an object. If you're crossing a huge chasm and there's only one bridge, well, the object of your faith is the bridge. You either trust it or you don't. Now, in the same way, when the Holy Spirit creates faith in a person through God's word, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ himself. It is Jesus Christ and in Christ alone in whom we trust for our salvation. He is the object of our faith. Our faith is not in our works, not in our efforts, not in our niceness, not in I'm better than that guy thinking. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus tells us that there's two parts to having faith. First, that we repent. Second, that we believe. And that's what he tells people to do here in Mark chapter 1. Repent and believe the gospel, right? This again is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. When the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts through God's word, two things happen. We repent of our sins, and we believe in the promises of the gospel. And that's how God's kingdom comes to us. So let's look at both of those, starting with repentance. So point number two, The kingdom of God comes through repentance. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Repentance first means to recognize and confess our sin. So we have to understand that sin is not just something other people do. It's not something just celebrities do, or people in Washington, D.C. do, or people on Wall Street do. No, repentance is when you say sin is something I do in my thoughts, in my words, and in my deeds. I'm the problem, not someone else. Not Washington, D.C., not Hollywood, not Wall Street. I'm the problem. Not my boss, not my difficult family member. I'm the one who sinned, and I was wrong to do that. I'm the one who's broken the Ten Commandments. I'm the one who didn't follow God's word. It's my fault, my own most grievous fault. When we confess our sins, as we know from 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or as Proverbs 28:13 puts it, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. When we repent, God promises to forgive our sins, to completely blot them out from existence. This is what Acts 3 verse 19 says. Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. That word repent is an incredible word. It's a very powerful word. It's about something powerful taking place in our hearts and in our minds. So the Greek word for repent is metanoiate. It's made up of two Greek words, meta, which means after, and noiety, which means to think. So literally, when you combine that, it means changed thinking. It's all about how you think differently after you have been confronted by the truth. How you think differently after you've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. How you think afterwards. We think differently about sin because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Our sinful nature believes sin is okay, that sin is not that bad, that sin is not a big deal. The Holy Spirit comes in and through God's word changes our way of thinking. He convicts us and convinces us that sin is not okay, sin is that bad, and sin is a very big deal. Sin is hurtful, sin is evil, sin brings misery, pain, and death. Through God's word, the Holy Spirit completely changes our thoughts. He completely changes our attitudes towards sin. We recognize our sin, we realize how bad it is, and understand that there's nothing we need more in this world than for our sins to be forgiven. Which brings us to the next part, which is believing, and that's point number three. Faith means repenting of our sin and believing in the promises of God in Christ Jesus, believing in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Number three, believing. Acts 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Repentance is not separate from believing. Both are the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and turns us to the promises of God for forgiveness. Repenting looks at ourselves. We see our sin, how we have fallen out of God's standards. We can't do that by ourselves. Only the Holy Spirit can cause us to repent. Believing looks to Jesus, the only one who can save us from sin, to put our trust and faith in Him alone. This is the constant message of the gospel. It is the constant message of Christianity and the constant message of St. Matthew Lutheran Church. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Notice again, the object of our faith. Our object of our faith is not ourselves. It's not our good works, not our own niceness. We believe in Jesus Christ, and in Christ alone, we find our salvation. We believe in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. That's what Romans 10:9 says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice our faith is in who Jesus is. He is the Lord, God Almighty, in the flesh. And our faith is in what Jesus has done, dying on the cross to pay for our sins and rising again 3 days later to give us everlasting life. Now, the kingdom of God expands when people, by the power of God's word, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. That's what this church is all about, extending the kingdom of God everywhere we go, through the power of word and sacrament. The kingdom of darkness brings sin and pain and suffering and death. Jesus brings God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is filled with grace and forgiveness, peace and joy. Wherever Jesus is, he brings his forgiveness, his joy, and his peace. Romans 15 verse 13 puts it, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." These are evidence of the kingdom of God. Peace, joy, and hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, who reminds us of the incredible promises which are ours in Christ Jesus. Nothing less than forgiveness for all of our sins, everlasting life, and salvation from death. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.